Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, the podcast that lives up to its potential, unfortunately. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, Ordinary People. Most people make films about extraordinary people, but Robert Redford says, hey, I'm already extraordinary enough. I'm going to make a flick about ordinary people. That's what he did. More coming up after the end of the theme song. So, Ordinary People is about a group of, mainly a family, living in Lake Forest, Illinois, which is not that far from me geographically, although culturally, it's probably plenty far away. At least from me. And this is the story of a family of three. We find out very early on that it used to be a family of four, but the older son died in a boating accident. And everything that goes on in this family after that is pretty much about that, even though nobody talks about it. And so this is what makes them ordinary, I suppose, although really, I kind of hope that they aren't ordinary, because there are a lot of parts of this film that are very frustrating to watch when you think of how people probably should get along, and in this film, they don't. Leading the pack is the son, the other son, the younger son, and he's having nightmares. He tried to kill himself at one point. He was in the hospital for a while. He's going to see a psychiatrist. And he's struggling to try and fit back into his ordinary life. Lake Forest is a fairly ritzy suburb of Chicago. And so, his ordinary life is a few notches above most other people's as a general rule. He's trying to fit back in, and the mother and father are struggling valiantly to make everything be absolutely normal. And nobody really talks about the dead son, if they can avoid it. Of course, as the film goes on, the ghost of the dead son, not the literal ghost, but his presence is always felt, and it starts to show up and rip things apart more and more. The parents are played ably by Donald Sutherland and Mary Tyler Moore. I have to say that Mary Tyler Moore, this is probably one of her least likable roles, and she's supposed to be unlikable almost entirely, and she succeeds at that. So, considering all the TV roles that she's had where she plays a pretty likable person and sometimes an insecure person, this role she's still pretty insecure, but it's all a facade is what we see, and she does not let any cracks show through what she wants to be the perfect exterior. Donald Sutherland is the dad, and he is a lot more human in many ways. I won't say anybody in this film is together, at least as far as the core family is concerned, but Donald Sutherland is really trying. He's doing the best he can, and he's maybe not doing a perfect job, but he's trying to understand his son. He's trying to kind of hold things together after the death of the other son. And he has more or less some kind of success at that. But he is a likable character in every way that Mary Tyler Moore's character is not. She is cold. She is self-centered. And you don't really ever find out if this is how she always was, or, was kind of always leading in this direction, or if she if this is something that's come on since her son died. But because there are a few flashbacks, but we really don't see very much in flashback of her. Everything in we see a couple scenes where other people are looking back and she's in the flashback, but we don't get to see anything from her point of view in a flashback. So we really don't know that much about her. And I'm sure that's a directorial point on the part of Robert Redford, who directed this film. So to watch this, I gotta say, it gets a little tedious at times. Now, it's a strange film because there are some very, very human moments that to me rang very true and seemed very powerful and moving because they ring true. And then there are other parts where the dialogue feels like I'm watching this and I'm thinking, nobody actually ever talks this way. Now, that's true in a lot of films, let's face it. Dialogue is, in movies and even in books and things, is rarely true to life because real people talk about stupid stuff most of the time. And in films, you have to drive the plot forward. But there are a number of scenes where it just feels like the characters don't speak in, you know, they're saying things and they're clearly making their point, but they're not saying things that a real person would say. As a screenwriter, I think you're always trying to find that happy medium between driving the plot forward and making it sound like real people would talk this way. That said, like I say, there are some scenes that really ring true and are very moving. Sometimes there's less dialogue in those scenes, which is probably why they work better. One other performance of note is Judd Hirsch. Yes, the guy from Taxi. Okay, I'm dating myself. Nobody knows him as the guy from Taxi. Probably a lot of people don't even know him at all. But Judd Hirsch is great in this role. You know pretty much when he comes in, he's the psychiatrist, and you know that he's going to be a guy who pretty much has it together. This is not the kind of a movie where it's going to have a psychiatrist who, in addition to all the other wounded, emotionally wounded characters, is going to be an emotionally wounded psychiatrist who's struggling. That's not his role here. He is a psychiatrist who has it together, and he does have a positive effect on Conrad, who was played by Timothy Hutton. He's the younger son. He also has a positive effect in one session with Donald Sutherland's character, the father. And Donald Sutherland is pretty forthcoming, and they make a lot of progress in 1 hour. Maybe an unrealistic amount of progress, but you can really see them connecting as well. And as the film goes on, you start to see the son, ironically, developing connections with other people and starting to heal, and in ways that the mom definitely does not. And it all leads up to what I think is a little bit of a tearjerker conclusion, and it's kind of moving. But I'm not going to tell you what that is because I don't like to do that. I'm going to give this film, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag, and there are parts of it that I really, really liked, but there are parts of it that kind of didn't work for me. And I'll tell you, Mary Tyler Moore does such a good job at playing somebody you don't like that she's hard to watch on screen sometimes, which is good from an acting standpoint, but not so good from a viewing standpoint. So I'm going to give this film a rent it. It is worth checking out, and do it once. And then, you know, send it back to Netflix or whatever and move on with your life. Not Blockbuster, because apparently they're going out of business or something. So, next week on the show... Next week we have Chariots of Fire. A film that, based on the title, I'm suspecting the title sounds a lot more exciting than the film actually is. I've never seen Chariots of Fire. I'm picturing people running through sand while Vangelis music plays in the background. I'm sure there's more to it than that. I hope there is, because I'm going to be sitting through 2 hours of it. But I will find out this week and let you know next week. Have a good one, everybody. Talk to you soon. Oh, and I'm Peter Pollack. And this is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. How about that?